A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. They came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. When people think of Catholicism, they think of the great basilica dedicated to St. Peter, that massive structure sitting in the heart of the Lateran. But it is second in dignity to the dedication of St. John Lateran, which is, after all, the cathedral of the city of Rome, and it is the Pope's parish. The John comes from two sources in the name of Lateran. The Lateran were a family of Roman family that dedicated or give the plot, but the John comes from John the Baptist and John the Evangelist, both of whom have a two objects of dedication, how do I put it, for this particular structure. So it has a prominence and dignity over even the great church, St. Peter's Basilica. Why do we have this feast of dedication of a building? It even overrides the ordinary Sunday readings when it falls on a Sunday. Why is that so important? Well, first of all, Catholicism is a very earthy religion. Places have significance. Physical structures have significance. They are incorporated into our sacraments, into our dioceses, the structure of our various liturgies. They all involve location, space, time, customs. Catholicism does not neglect the physical. It is immersed in the physical. And why is this? Because of the incarnation. Because God incorporated himself into the human race. Therefore, all of creation has been changed. And so this building of St. John Lateran mirrors the body of Christ. In our first reading, we hear how waters flow from this structure of a temple and water the whole earth, four directions, all four points of the compass receive the blessings that flow from this building, this temple, this mystical temple that Ezekiel has a vision of. Jesus makes a correlation between the temple of his day, the Herodian temple, which was still not quite finished, and the 3 days that his body would spend in the tomb and then be raised. The Jews didn't get it. the dedication of a place solely for the worship of God. Solely is critical. If we start making our places of worship multi-purpose, we dumb down the reason for their existence. We somehow modify or even destroy the dignity and beauty of a structure that should mirror as far as possible the glory of God in this world. There should be no illusions when we walk into a church that it is anything but a church, that it could ever be anything but a church, that it is dedicated to the honor and worship of God, and that the altar is not just something we tag on, but it is the central location of the church. And what happens on that altar is the reason for the church's existence, both physically and morally. It is a reminder that we are not also not coincidental to the structure of the church, that there are various levels of reality. Catholicism has always said that the church is a visible structure as well as many other things. It doesn't have that vagueness about it that some other Christian groups do. When we come together in real bodies. When we come together in a definite place, perform different actions, various actions of these bodies of ours, and the structure that we meet in should, I may even say must, mirror that function, so that its very existence gives glory and honor to God, and that it is not just an adjunct or coincidental to the actions of a liturgy, but it is an enhancer, a beautiful setting for that work we call liturgy. So you and I, when we come into the gathering, we are not just observers. We become part of the structure, the organic structure of that edifice. We are integral to it. For without you and I and the Blessed Sacrament, that church is just another building, no matter how beautiful it. But when we come together and honor and worship, and when the mysteries of the Lord are celebrated, then truly there's a little bit of heaven present on earth. That's why our churches should reflect that reality. That's why we should reflect that reality, being buildings, being stones in the living wall of the church. We should have the dignity and solidity, not only in or of ourselves, but the way that we fit together with others, so that the structure may be upheld, so that the structure may be sound, so that the structure of the church may thrive and spread. You and I are living stones, and Christ is the cornerstone. We take this one church, this preeminent church of Christendom, this cathedral church of the Vicar of Christ, and we extend its meaning and presence around the world, wherever the Eucharist is celebrated, and wherever the people of God come together to celebrate that Eucharist. There is the structure of the church. There is replicated everything that happens in that great church we remember today. For even the most humble building, when the sacraments are celebrated, when the Eucharist is confected, become a place where heaven comes to earth. It doesn't mean that they should be ugly or humble. If we can help it, if we're able to do something. But nevertheless, God has become one of us, and his presence is manifest in a very earthly, physical way. Amen.